At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive.
All right. Well, welcome back to our journey to thriving. And today I have with me one of our team members, Dr. Corey Durall, who is a fabulous pharmacist that has joined us and passionate about functional medicine. So Corey, do you want to introduce yourself and just tell a little bit about where you live, what you do, and then we can dive into your story.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me. So, yep. My name is Corey Durall. I've been a pharmacist. I'm approaching 20 years, but I've got a little room left there. That's weird to say. And I am living and practicing in Salina, Kansas, which is pretty much the middle of the lower 48, if you could imagine, or smack dab in the middle. So smaller community, although I think most of our rural farming communities around us would call us the bigger city. So, you know, it's a fun place to be, not too big and not too small, and doing some cool things around here. It's been since I was born here. It's very interesting to see it evolve into something different from what I grew up with. So,
yeah.
And I am working at an independent pharmacy that's been in the community since 1961. So we're pretty proud of that, especially in this environment of pharmacies not doing so well. We're happy to still be here.
That's awesome. Yeah, that could be a whole other podcast about why pharmacy as a community profession is dying with all the PBMs and the crazy drug pricing situation. But we'll leave that for another conversation for another day. So part of this is, you know, what sparked your interest in functional integrative medicine? Where did your journey begin? How did you get from I'm a pharmacist in the community pharmacy to now I want to practice this as a functional medicine provider as well?
Sure. Well, I graduated pharmacy school in 2007. Of course, functional medicine was not even a concept that was really ever presented. We got no introduction or education to that unless we happened to stumble upon a rotation in which they were doing that. And so my introduction actually came a couple years after graduation. I lived in the Kansas City area for the first 4 or 5 years after graduating. I worked for a small hospital, but I filled in at a community pharmacy in Lee Summit, Missouri. And they had a very thriving compounding practice going in which they did quite a bit of bioidentical hormones. And so I started filling in there just for some extra money or extra. I didn't have kids, so I had extra time to give. And they were actually really looking for someone to come there full time. And so it interested me enough to see what they were doing that I was like, yeah, I want to learn more about this. And so I left the hospital job, which I liked, but this was such a cool opportunity because, you know, they already had the practice going. It wasn't something I had to start from the ground up or anything like that. But they were, you know, there was a lot of providers in the area that were, you know, believed in this functional approach, particularly in hormones in this case. So they would send their patients, refer them to the pharmacy, and we would evaluate them and then make recommendations to the provider as well as any other things we thought they could benefit from. And this was, I mean, I would think it's early on in sort of this functional medicine starting to grow in that area. So I literally was learning everything on my own or what they were able to teach me because it wasn't education I'd come with. So, but as I, you know, did some of these evaluations with these women, I learned that women going through hormone changes are feeling like strangers in their own minds and bodies, and nobody seems to get it or be able to help them. And so this did help them. And it was really just fascinating, this idea that we could help people come back to health and balance, in this case through hormones, but there was so much other to be touched on. And I was so young then because I was in my 20s, so I couldn't really appreciate what they were going through. And looking back now that I'm in my 40s, I'm like, I should have paid more attention then to what was going on. Because now I'm going through this stuff and it's like, yeah, the help I was able to provide back then and not even knowing how much I was doing, have the experience to experience it yourself is, yeah, I'm kind of sad. I didn't appreciate it more then. But
yeah,
that's where I got started.
Awesome. Well, I mean, it's so important. I think like I see a lot of perimenopausal, postmenopausal women in practice as well. And it's, you know, they often are just not being heard by their conventional providers where they say, you know, I'm tired or all of a sudden I'm really anxious or I'm not sleeping anymore. And their providers are like, well, this is just the change. This is what happens. And there's no, I mean, sometimes they'll get offered a commercial hormone therapy now that there's a little bit more availability to some of that. And the Women's Health Initiative stuff has been more debunked as far as, you know, some of the risk, especially in someone coming right into perimenopause or menopause. So I feel like there's more providers listening than there probably were in 2007 and 2009 when I graduated. But there are definitely still room for, you know, so many people just are understanding the connection between the perimenopausal, menopausal period and a lot of these symptoms. Even I see a lot of women with metabolic issues that they did okay when their estrogen levels were normal and estrogen was helping regulate their glucose. And as soon as their estrogen levels plummeted, then that's when their blood sugars shot up and then they get diagnosed with diabetes on top of it, even though there was probably some underlying metabolic issue already. It was just sort of like the point where it was not able to balance itself anymore. And so I think that just even frustrates women further in their journey is like, okay, well, now I feel like crap. Now I have diabetes. Now all of this stuff and really don't have anyone to listen to them.
Yeah. It's just sort of cast, the symptoms are cast aside. And there is this message of, well, this is just the phase of life you're in and you're going to have to tolerate it.
Yes.
No, I do not accept that.
I do not accept that. I will not. So was there a specific experience either, you know, through one of those patients or through a personal experience that led you to a deeper understanding of root cause care as your journey continued?
Well, you know, I don't think early on I had really, I mean, I was understanding the concept of root cause care, but I wasn't as focused on it at that time as I am now, as far as what's really gotten me back into this, because I went away from it for a little bit, is observations with patients. So over my, at the pharmacy I'm at now, this is my 13th year there. So as I've been observing patients and, you know, my desire has always been to be able to help people get healthy. And so as a pharmacist, you know, we go through pharmacy school learning, you know, these are the ways to help people. And it became really painfully obvious as I'm checking orders for patients and they're getting 15 and 20 medicines a month. I'm like, this isn't what I had in mind as far as what I thought was going to be helping people. I was like, we aren't really making people healthier. We're covering it up and never encouraging them to change or teaching them that, you know, it's okay to use this medication to get through these current situations, but, you know, ultimately goals should be to get back to a situation where we don't need the medication or fix the problem instead of just covering it up. And so, you know, it's just kind of a painful realization amongst my profession that I was like, I feel like I'm being complicit in a dysfunctional model. And so that kind of, you know, I was like, I want to have different conversations with patients than the ones we're having, which were actually sidestepping a lot of issues. So yeah, I was kind of getting unhappier and unhappier at work because it's like, they feel like what I'm doing is making a difference anymore. And I want people to come to us because we're able to help them shift to another direction. So yeah, so I sought out ways to get more connected in the functional medicine environment and found you and Farm to Table. And I said, I'm still relatively new to deep diving into this, but I know that this method is the way that I want to connect with patients.
Awesome. Do you want to speak to your own health journey that you had and sort of came out of that people might resonate with?
Sure. I mean, that's part of the picture too, of me being able to connect all the dots between what's broken in our current system versus how we, you know, integrate it and pull it all together. Because I went through, I've had two episodes really of times where I just was really weird things were happening. I wasn't feeling good. And I would, so about 2015, I think, was the first time all sorts of weird things, neurological things going on, brain fog. I'm having weakness and tingling and mind-numbing fatigue, which, you know, I was the mom of, at that time, a five-year-old and a three-year-old. And of course, they're like, you're just, that's just what it's like. You're a mom. And I'm like, yeah, this, no, I don't, I'm edgy, I'm anxious, I'm like out of my mind. I don't even know who I am. And of course, you know, you get all the labs done. You go to the doctor, you get all the labs done, and you anxiously await all these results, and they call you back and they're like, well, everything's normal. You're fine. And you're like, no, but I am not fine. And there's really no more conversation after everything comes back normal. And it's like, they just want you to accept that everything's normal, despite how you feel. And I had a very hard time with that. So, I mean, I've spent a lot of money chasing leads to figure something out because I just knew something was fundamentally wrong with me. And so it took my own, you know, realization that you're just going to have to figure this out on your own and start digging at little things here and looking at the roots. You know, if clinically the picture is okay, then it's got to be something you're doing that's, that's taking you there. And so, you know, getting really deep into looking at my sleep, my nutrition, my movement, stress levels, although I probably ignored that till this latest stint with COVID. You know, once I started refocusing on those things and, you know, I started diving into the gut health piece and everything like that, things started to resolve and I started to feel more normal again. So it was really eye-opening. It was like, wow, you know, sometimes the solutions actually are simpler than we want to make them. We'd rather ignore our own choices and accountability in our health.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of times you sit in front of a patient and you're like, well, this is what I think you need to do. And they're like, no, there has to be like a simpler answer, right? Than me overhauling my diet and me overhauling, like getting moving more and all the things. I mean, it's just our environment. People want a quick answer. And a lot of times the answer isn't super quick, right? It's let's do one thing at a time. And I think for a lot of patients, you know, sometimes it's 12 months until they really feel like themselves again. And maybe it was they were 100% before and now they're 90% even after that 12 months, but that's drastic from the 40% maybe that they showed up to the office with. But sometimes they're just like, well, I just want to get back to, you know, X point in time. And sometimes it's possible and sometimes it's not, but it is a lot of work to get there. And I think that's, people forget that. And I think that's why like health coaching and having accountability is so important, because if we're just like, hey, as a provider, here is your plan, and the person goes home and doesn't know what to do with it or know how to implement it in their life or meets roadblocks that are causing them to not be able to do it, they need that accountability partner to help coach them through that. So were there specific supplements or probiotics that you felt like were really game changers in part of that process? Obviously, when you said clean up your diet, did you remove gluten or dairy or...
I didn't do anything drastic then. I am starting that now because even as much work as I've done, you know, I have a lot of nutrient deficiencies and not any really clear indicators as to why I have those. So uncovering that there's underlying inflammation going on and trying to pinpoint that. So now I'm getting into the nitty gritty with the diet and specific foods that need to be avoided. And so now we're going to be getting rid of gluten and wheat and all of that good stuff, which is terrifying and hard. But ultimately, I want to feel better. So I wouldn't, you know, fixing some of these nutrient deficiencies, you know, they've tested me for vitamin D deficiency like a million times, and I always am deficient. So they'll treat me with the high dose vitamin D. And then they're like, well, 12 weeks is over. You're done with that. But, you know, even though I'm a pharmacist, it's like, yeah, so you need to maintain that, silly.
Right.
You need to keep that up by adding, because obviously you're not consuming enough or not getting enough of what you need on a regular basis. So if you haven't changed your life, you have to change what you're giving it.
Right. And
so, you know, my whole cabinet's full of supplements. So I don't know if I have decided which one's been most impactful for me, but probably the magnesium and the adaptogens, just because I led a very stressful life for the last decade. And some of this functional testing I've been doing has shown me that I pretty much caused my adrenals to say, you know, we don't really want to work with you anymore. You're killing us here by living this way. And so I did try to start supporting my adrenals more. And I did make some drastic life changes. So I quit my job as a manager. I said, this stress level that I'm experiencing is slowly killing me. And I don't want that, because my kids are entering the age where it's, you know, their last years here before they start living lives of their own. And I want to be present for that. I don't want to be a stressed out mess. And the wake up call to what stress actually does to your body, because it's been a year since I walked away from the role and I'm better off. Like, a lot of people have commented that they observe a difference with me, but my body still hasn't recovered. And so that patience piece, or that acknowledgement of, you know, you spent this many years not treating yourself right, so you're going to have to give at least a bit of almost matching that time to fully get back lost.
Yeah. And it takes the work, like the nutrients, like you said. I mean, a lot of times stress causes us to burn through lots more antioxidants and B vitamins, and they're not going to be just replaced by doing the B complex for a few months. And then also the vagal nerve stimulation. I don't know how far you've gotten into some of that. And like, there's devices that you can use. Obviously, there's ways that you can stimulate the vagal nerve just by singing or gargling, but getting your body back into that rest and digest and the parasympathetic state, so that it's not constantly feeling like it's running from a bear or running from this extreme stress, or sometimes the perceived stress of the things we worry about that never really happen is what's driving our bodies to be in that stress state. But to like do the work to get out of that, whether it's devices or even neurofeedback or EMDR, if there was trauma that causes people to get in stress, it's time. It definitely takes time, not just sitting there, but doing, you know, actively doing those things.
Being constantly aware of it, just to practice, because if we don't practice something, it can't be so, you know, it can't be routine anyway, or it can't become natural. So,
and to know in the moment how to handle like new stressors that come up too, like how do we deep breathe, take a step before we act in certain situations too, I think is another learning piece. Instead of letting our body get back to that response that it wants to have, is important too. So some of the key things I just want to highlight that you mentioned: adaptogens are fabulous for helping with stressors. They help our body sort of modulate, or sort of, you know, if our cortisol is high, it helps bring it down. If cortisol is low, it helps increase it. They've been used for hundreds, not thousands, years in nutrition. And obviously now it's a newer state of where people are just taking it in a pill versus drinking it in a tea or another form, tincture form. But those can be really helpful. And you mentioned magnesium, which is always one of our favorite support supplements. I think I saw something online recently and it was like magnesium is the thing to do if you, I'll have to find it, but I was joking that we should have pinned this phrase. I'll think of it in a second. I'll pull it up here in my DMs, because Zachary and I talk about it all the time as like the thing that we should, the Epsom salt bag said powered by magnesium at the top of it. And I thought, oh, that should be like our like just like catchphrase, because I feel like you recommend it to everybody. Like, we should have
added to you
on that, powered by magnesium.
Yeah.
Because we talk about it so much. So we'll talk about a little bit. You mentioned COVID as a more recent situation. So you want to tell us a little bit about that part?
I mean, that's always, you know, viruses, they're not cool little guys. Yes, I got COVID. I made it through 2020, but in 2021, I finally caught it. And I got the loss of taste and smell, the whole nine yards with that. Didn't feel that bad. I mean, tired, but otherwise, and a headache. That was the worst of it. But I didn't really ever get out of it. So, you know, it'd been like 4 or 5 months later, I was still struggling. I was having shortness of breath, like with that, especially with exercise, couldn't any longer partake in much exercise with feeling like I couldn't breathe, which was odd for me because I was pretty active. Have swelling, all sorts of, I mean, the one key thought that I had, like pulmonary hypertension, it was like really wild. And of course, they put me on a bunch of things to control those symptoms. So I got put on Lasix and some other things, but they sent me to everybody, you know, blood work's coming back fine. I'm having heart failure type symptoms, but not, I don't have heart failure. And all my pulmonary function tests were fine. So, you know, I do a stress test. They tested me for POTS and, you know, I went to every kind of doctor there was. And ultimately they're like, everything's normal. You're just still recovering from this virus, which is a hard concept, that post-viral syndrome kind of thing. But they're like, you can just keep taking the medicine because it helps with the symptoms. And I said, yeah, but I really don't want to do that. I don't want to be on a medicine for the sake of being on something that controls a symptom, but we don't know why I have to take it. So this is more stubbornness. So, you know, we leaned back into, well, really what, that was really where the stress piece, focusing in on the stress piece came in, because I do think at the stress level I was running that recovering from that virus was probably never going to happen unless I did something drastically to improve that. So getting back to working on making changes, applying the mindfulness, changing the nutrition just to make sure we're really supporting what our body needs to heal did finally get me over that curve to where I could, now I can exercise and gain strength and that kind of thing all over again. So I wouldn't say I'm all the way there, but I'm certainly in a much better place than I was then.
Yeah. It's sort of crazy. And even thinking about your symptoms beforehand, I'm like, oh, I feel like I know some of what's going on here. But there's a lot of like intestinal permeability connections between like long haulers. And so the patients that have more intestinal permeability, the virus like sort of just like sets that off. And like all of the inflammation that was maybe sort of slowly burning going on that all of a sudden is worse in the POTS, especially. I know you mentioned like being evaluated for that, but we do have a lot of COVID or post-COVID patients that are, you know, that have the postural hypotension symptoms. And I think a lot of it's stemming from intestinal permeability, but even like sort of the brain and the permeability piece there as well. So, but and gluten sensitivities and things like that, you know, maybe playing a role too. But yeah, the virus itself for a lot of people was sort of that tipping point for some of these autoimmune conditions as well. I've seen even development of like type 1 diabetes post-COVID and patients, you know, development of other autoimmune conditions. So, and really like, I think we knew viruses can trigger a lot of these things in other conditions. So like EBV is one that we think of for like Hashimoto's and autoimmune thyroiditis, and even a lot of connections between some like viruses that kids get in type 1 diabetes development happening afterwards, to the point where they're even studying vaccines for the Coxsackie virus because they know that it is a trigger for type 1, you know, and I don't know how far that'll go. I mean, it's not something that's normally, other than development of autoimmunity, really causing a lot of symptoms for people. But man, if we could turn that off and that trigger, that would be amazing for a lot of those patients or people at risk, especially people maybe with genetic risk for type 1. So I love that the research now that we have seen like this big impact of viruses and, you know, specific to COVID is starting to lean back into, okay, like how do we get the body to recover better from, if we are in this, you know, fight or flight and the stress state, maybe with intestinal permeability, how do we help our bodies to be able to balance that immune response so that we don't drive into, you know, into that next phase? But I'm glad you're on the healing journey and being able to realize, I think the job piece, I mean, there's so often I see people, maybe they're working night shift even, and they're just in this health issue where they're having all similar symptoms. And it's like, well, you are not going to get better until you sleep on a regular schedule when it is dark out, right? And like having this circadian rhythm, because that waking, the light waking you up in the morning or you know, the grounding piece, all of that kind of stuff is triggering your body and like helping your body to maintain that, you know, proper stress balance, HPA balance. So I think so many times we're like, oh, like you really need to change jobs, but it's hard. Yeah. It's easier said than done, right? I can say, hey, I need a new job, but I realize that's not like always the easiest. But even in your case, so you just stepped down at the current pharmacy.
Yeah, it was hard because I mean, I was kind of at the top of the chain. So, and I did not want to leave my place of work. I love my patients. I love the people I work with.
Yeah.
You know, I very loyal to, you know, our owner and, but I could not do the job anymore and get myself where I needed to be. So I just said, look, I want to stay, but I can't do the 24/7 thing anymore. So I just, you know, had to choose myself. I'll be there for other people every moment of the day, all the time, but I end up neglecting myself. And so it was just time to decide that this was the era of the time we're going to focus on getting me better, because otherwise we keep on this path, I will not be here as long as I want to be.
Right. Yeah. And I've seen that happen. I've seen patients that are in their 50s, like maybe even late 40s, that are just not functioning. Like they're not able to work and having to be on disability because they're so fatigued or they can't get around. And a lot of them were professionals, like highly functioning professionals. Over the years, like the stress continued to wear away at their bodies. And again, these things weren't addressed. And the answer was always, here's your pill. Here's your, you know, next thing. Like now your blood pressure's high. Now your cholesterol is high. Here's your statin. I mean, like you said, like people are walking away with a pharmacy at 15 medications in a month. Sometimes, I mean, I've seen med list of 20, 25 things. And it's, you know, things keep getting added, but no one's saying, well, maybe this one didn't work back here. We should just get rid of it, right? Like, someone has like a transplant or a, you know, had a heart attack and had bypass, you know, you're going to need an anticoagulant. You're going to need a stent for those patients. The transplant patient's going to need some immunosuppressants. I mean, it's a miracle they're able to have that and alive and that we have those things. But for the average person with high blood pressure, cholesterol, no history of having the events, like we have so much more that we can offer people. And even, you know, even with diabetes, I mean, obviously type 1, people need insulin because their pancreas isn't making it. And type 2s get to the point sometimes because of they've done, you know, had this problem for so long that their pancreas is also not producing insulin. But if we can really intervene before that really becomes a problem with lifestyle and nutrition, addressing these nutrient depletions and inflammation, I mean, there's just so much opportunity, right, to prevent this person leaving the pharmacy with 15 to 20 meds. And I'm not saying that we just want to switch meds to supplements. We really want people to get it from diet. But sometimes when you, like you said, vitamin D is a great example. Like we really don't get a lot of that from diet. And if we're inside the pharmacy working or inside our house, we're not getting the sun exposure. If we do get the sun exposure, I don't want so many wrinkles. I'm slathering my face with sunblock, right? So I know there's a lot of reasons that I'm not getting my own vitamin D. And, you know, a lot of people are in that same boat. There's like one person, I always say, like, I always check vitamin D and like you're vitamin D deficient until proven otherwise if you live in the US. Even if you live in California or Florida, like the likelihood that you're spending enough time outside every day to get enough. But I did have one girl recently that had like a vitamin D of 45. And I was like, oh, are you taking a multivitamin with vitamin D or anything? She's like, no. It's like, do you drink vitamin D milk? She was like, no. I was like, how is your vitamin D 45? So she disproved my theory, but the rest of the time, it is very clear that people need vitamin D supplementation. That's why I say you're deficient until proven otherwise, because it is not very common that we get those levels of someone that has not been taking any form of vitamin D from a supplement. So, well, anything else that you want to leave with the audience, just sort of tips or wisdom as you've gone on this journey?
I think I just want to encourage people to reflect on this idea that your health is your responsibility. So it's not anyone else's responsibility to fix it necessarily. I mean, there's people out there that can help with certain things, but making those decisions to, you know, good, you know, whole food nutrition, moving your body, getting the sunlight, sleeping, and controlling your stress level, those are going to be your biggest impactors. And you have control of all of those. And don't want to show up to the pharmacy later in life saying, I can't afford this medicine, but I need it to live. And, you know, don't give Big Pharma the power over you. Take it back. So
back your power. I love that. I think we talked about that in one of our first recordings too. I think, yeah, like taking, and I think, you know, there's so many tools that you can use nowadays to take back the power, whether it's like an Oura ring to measure your sleep and measure your heart rate variability to see if the interventions that you're doing are actually improving your health, or it's a CGM where you're putting one on and seeing what happens to your blood sugar after a meal. Like, then it's your power to be able to say, oh, that is what's happening. I need to make this choice instead. But yeah, I mean, I think we've been in this very reactive society that has really like caused people to not deal with things until they become a problem. And then at that point, you've sort of lost your power because the doctor's saying, well, you need this because you're at this level. But yeah, so I think a lot of these tools and technologies are definitely giving people the ability to say, hey, no, I can look at this data, I can make a choice about it, and I can move forward. So that's what I love about functional medicine testing too, because we can find out like, what is your body depleted in? What is your Krebs cycle look like? I mean, never did I imagine when I was sitting in biochemistry in, what year would that have been? Like 2006, maybe? 7, maybe? I don't know. Sort of put my 6 years of pharmacy school into 5 years, so I lost track of the middle time. But when I was in that class, I never thought that was something I was going to look at a patient, like specific person level, right? So look at those markers and to see like what nutrients they needed to drive the energy cycle. But again, that gives people like, why are you fatigued? Like, what's going on in your energy cycle in your body? And how can we support that? How can they support that, right? It's not me at home cooking meals for them. It's them making that decision. So awesome. Well, I love this conversation about, we had a little bit of touch on viruses and their triggers. We talked about stress being a huge impactor in some of these foundations of lifestyle, which we do have a free program available on our website that is all about the foundations of stress, sleep, community, gut health, all of those things. So if you haven't checked that out, if you're listening, please head over to Farm to Table and check out our Foundations of Wellness program, because those are really key. Like, I always laugh when I have, you know, conversations with patients and I feel like, why did they just pay me this much to tell them to like sleep more, to, you know, get their movement in, like all these just basics. So we want everyone to have those basics, even if, you know, affording a functional medicine consult isn't in the game or in the cards for someone right now. We want to give you those foundations because we truly believe that those are the core of where people need to start. And when you're ready to dive deeper, we'll be here to help you evaluate those symptoms. So thanks so much for joining me, Corey, and hopefully this was helpful to our listeners. And if you have a story like Corey's and need help diving in, again, please reach out to us at farmtotable.life and schedule a discovery call.
Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.